Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
The Point Forward podcast, sitting on the precipice of an NBA championship. Oh man, Tuesday night in Milwaukee. If you guys aren't set for it already, it's going to be something. It's going to be wild. I may be downtown checking it out, running our live chat. Jim Ozarski will be downtown. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, and on the other line is Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It is time to talk about Game 6 of the NBA Finals. Tuesday night, Pfizer Forum, the Milwaukee Bucks one win away from that Bucks and Six thing, an NBA title for the first time in 50 years. It is an amazing time to be a Milwaukee sports fan. And Jim was there. The only game that we haven't talked about is that last one, Game 5 in Phoenix. Bucks needed to win on the road. They did that. They did it with one of the more iconic plays in Bucks history. It's so funny, Jim, because, you know, the block, I imagine like 20 years from now, we will have conflated the Giannis block and the Jrue Holiday steal into a dunk. Like, I think we'll think that's both Game 5 or both from the same game. Maybe Game 6 if they win that one. But crazy that one game after they have this block, there's this moment. I don't know what – again, I've done this on a few podcasts, but take me through it as it's developing. I can't imagine you were sitting there thinking, well, he's going to throw an alley-oop when there's, you know, 16 seconds to kill or whatever it is, because I'm sure that caught a lot of people off guard, and then Giannis throws it down. What an incredible moment in time. I imagine the air just left the building there in Phoenix.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, they had nearly erased, you know, that entire 14-point deficit. Chris Paul, you know, gets a layup, gets the matchup he wants with Pat Connaughton and gets within one. They get a stop. And it's Devin Booker, you know, on PJ Tucker. Tucker's got five fouls. I mean, everything about that scenario you think tilts the court towards the Suns. However, good, as Jrue Holiday said, good team defense. I mean, Tucker, I think Giannis was sort of over there as well. And Booker, for, you know, in that moment, decided not to put it up. I mean, he kind of got caught. And you know, Jrue Holiday demurs or maybe tries to downplay it a little bit by just saying, you know, he was just standing there, you know, when Devin Booker turns around. But look, you've got to be able to pop that ball out. And yeah, I think in terms of the dunk, it was a kind of what are you doing moment, you know, like you're watching it and there's nothing about that play is a sound basketball decision. Giannis admitted it. Jrue Holiday admitted it. But as Giannis said, he was sort of wrapped up in it and wanted it, and Jrue, you know, trusted him that he would get it done. So yeah, look, it still gave the Suns a chance, you know, I guess to get up a shot and, you know, maybe do something there at the end. So, you know, if they do that, maybe it's we're talking about something a little differently here, JR. But you're right. Look, two games in a row, this team has preached defense, and they can win a championship with defense. And, you know, they don't really talk much about offense. And, you know, they're on the brink of a championship, JR, because of two really solid defensive plays.
Yeah, very emblematic of what Jrue Holiday has done this whole series. He just gets his hands in there. Like, he has this uncanny, the way you would say that Brook Lopez knows how to block a shot at the rim, or how Giannis can do a lot of things, but like, that's what he does. He's kind of off to the side of the defender. Maybe he's guarding somebody else. He just knows the right moment to stick his hand in there and interrupt some things. And I think he probably sensed that Devin Booker was going to try to win that game. I mean, a lot of people have circled the fact that Chris Paul was open. You know, he was open, sure. The Bucks could have closed on him or whatever. But Devin Booker wanted to be the one to win that game. You know, he'd already crossed into the 40-point category, and he was looking to make a play. And Jrue Holiday knew it. And the Bucks, I mean, you know, they win this game 123-119. I was certain they were going to go behind in that moment after they had seen their double-digit lead in the fourth quarter just evaporate. And man, again, obviously Jrue Holiday, we could talk about his offense too as well. This was finally the game where he put everything together. But it doesn't matter what came before. And even if he struggles in Game 6, if the Bucks win this championship, none of it matters. The acquisition of Jrue Holiday, all the draft picks they gave up, to me, worth it. Worth it 100%. He is a great player on one end of the floor in this postseason. We know he can be good on both ends. Game 5, when it mattered most, he was great on both ends of the floor. And, you know, it doesn't matter what comes after this. If they win a title, Jrue Holiday is one of the reasons they're there. And I think this trade is just is worth it. I don't care what anybody else says. That is a glorious move in Bucks history.
Yeah, I think at this point, yeah, I would even say it was worth it even if somehow they got swept by the Suns. You know, the whole point of this was to advance to the finals, to compete, like truly compete for a championship, not just say you're doing it because you're in the playoffs, but to get to the final stage. And, you know, you never know how that'll go. But, look, they have to win one out of two in Phoenix in a best of three. You know, and clearly winning it in game five was the one you wanted. You don't really want to be going back to game seven, having won two out of three in Phoenix, right? So it was the perfect opportunity, the perfect moment for Jrue Holiday to find the distance shot. You know, he's been getting to the rim. He's been getting to the lane. Those haven't gone in, JR, but it was clear early, you know, those couple step backs before he was sent to the bench with foul trouble. You know, he definitely had his outside shot going, and that changes things. And look, they haven't had a big three game in a while, you know, where the three of them combined for essentially 80 points. I thought for sure that in order to win one in Phoenix, they'd have to do that once, you know, like it's a hard place to play. It's a hard place to win. They needed that. And so, yeah, you're right, JR. I think Jrue Holiday stepping up with 13 assists as well. I mean, obviously the punctuation mark with the alley-oop, but, you know, clearly the floor general, you know, in game six for the Bucks, and it was his turn, you know, after Giannis and Chris Middleton had taken theirs, you know, in the previous two games.
What you just said might be the answer to my next question, but I would point out that, you know, Giannis misses the free throw after that alley-oop, and that would still make it a three-point game. Phoenix would still have a chance, but Giannis, of course, winds up with the rebound, an elite rebound. Chris Middleton ends up with the ball. I mean, this is Giannis skying. It was Jrue who got in there first. He gets it to Giannis kind of in the air on a tip. Giannis smartly tips it backward right to where Middleton is standing. He ends up making one of two free throws to make it a four-point game in crunch time. Chris Middleton playing more minutes than anybody. He's at 44 minutes. He ends up with a massive game as well. 29 points, 7 rebounds. Holiday, like we said, was at 27 and 13 assists. Giannis just ho-hum, 32, 9, and 6, flirting with a triple-double. Another huge game for him. But anyway, back to this question I was going to ask. I was running the live chat, like I do for most games, at jsonline.com. You can check it out again Tuesday night. And I'll be honest, I was pretty pessimistic after the first quarter. I was very clear that I really didn't, you know, it's an NBA game, so it feels silly to ever say this, but this isn't really typical NBA basketball. It is the playoffs. It's the NBA Finals. And the Suns are an elite defensive team. And anytime the Bucks have gone down in these playoffs, we have not seen them be able to get back in it quickly. They've scratched and clawed their way back in this series. Game two is a good example of that. But you go down 16 after the first quarter. The Suns were hitting everything. Unsustainable, but still, they were able to hit great shots and hit open shots. And the Bucks were turning the ball over a lot. Also probably unsustainable, but it didn't feel to me like the Bucks were going to be able to get back in that game unless they scratched and clawed and maybe had a shot at the end. Well, then what? 4 minutes later, they have 16 points compromised, and it's a tie game, and they take the lead at halftime. I mean, that really threw me off. I don't think have seen that from the Bucks. Why was that different? Why was Game 5 a different story? I mean, it's almost like valves just got shut off. Suddenly Phoenix couldn't make a shot for a short period of time. The Bucks weren't going to turn it over anymore, and they were making everything. I don't know if there's an explanation for that, but we hadn't seen that. That's a level that I don't think Milwaukee has quite played to in this postseason, maybe against Miami in Game 2, or I should say Atlanta against Game 2, some of the Miami series. But this was really special. That second quarter was unbelievable to me.
And, you know, what's funny about that is Giannis missed the first 5.5 minutes of it. You know, I mean, he wasn't crazy on the court. You know, he played 12 minutes the first quarter, all of it, and was, you know, out there when the Suns punched him in the mouth and took that lead. And so who's it? It's Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton coming off the bench and really kind of sparking that thing, JR. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they definitely made stops for sure. I would argue some of those stops are you're letting Jay Crowder shoot a three. Jay Crowder shoot from 24 feet. You know, they had Torrey Craig had a couple shots. Actually, Crowder missed two threes. You know, Cam Johnson, you know, had a ball stolen by, you know, Bobby Portis. So, I mean, I think some of it was, you could argue, personnel, you know, where the Suns are playing that game where they're trying to rest guys as well. But look, they're still forcing, you know, Torrey Craig and Jay Crowder into those shots. I mean, we've seen moments in the series, JR, where Cam Johnson almost brought the Suns all the way back by himself. What was that, game three? You know, Mikal yeah. Bridges was unconscious in game two. So those are guys who, you know, they're not just kind of scrubs, if you will, but they weren't the ones taking the shots. They, you know, it was these other guys. And then, lo and behold, there's, you know, Pat Connaughton tying the game. You know, there's Bobby Portis, you know, essentially making this thing even. So, yeah, it was – I don't know how to describe it other than it was the right combination of guys playing the right kind of defense. And I'll give Mike Budenholzer credit. I asked him, I'm like, I mean, how hard did you have to fight yourself to keep Giannis on the bench? You know, Monty Williams calls timeout. It's totally right, JR? I mean, oh, Bucks got momentum. Put Giannis back in. And he actually did the opposite and said, no, big fella, you sit for another 3 minutes. I mean, that seems so unbelievable in the moment. And then, yeah, from then on, it was essentially an even game down to the final seconds.
We have not talked enough about Mike Budenholzer in this series. I think when you come back from multiple 2-0 deficits in the playoffs, it's possible to be critical of the coach's performance, but it's difficult. You know, it's difficult because that is the thing the Bucks couldn't do in previous postseasons. They couldn't, you know, they couldn't counterpunch when a team punched them. This is different. This is different in this postseason. And you wrote at JS Online this morning, as we record this on Monday, that there won't be a decision on Mike Budenholzer's future in Milwaukee until after the season. That was according to the owners. That makes sense. I mean, no one is going to say one way or the other. He's definitely going to be back. But we've talked a lot about that. We're at the stage now where they might win a title. I've been trying to come up in my brain with any scenario where you think they could move in a different direction, even if they win the title, and quite, or if they lose it. I mean, that's a different situation, but still, it would be at minimum Game 7 in the NBA Finals. I struggle to think of that. I don't think it's completely out of the realm of possibility. Again, with these owners, we don't, you know, the caveat remains that we don't really know what they are thinking. But man, if they win the title, Budenholzer is a massive part of this. He has really, I think, risen to the occasion. I don't know how anyone could think about going in another direction at that point. But I don't know. I guess there is still a little bit of mystery, huh?
I guess there is. But I think if they close this out and win this championship, I mean, look, there may be stuff behind the scenes that people don't like. There may be, you know, squabbles both ends. If you're Mike Budenholzer, you know, all those reports are coming out of somewhere during the season, you know, that he would be fired. And so if he holds the ultimate trump card, when this is all said and done, JR, with a Larry O'Brien trophy, I mean, you've got 1 year left on the deal. I think I'm asking to be one of the highest paid coaches in basketball. And his resume, of a 74 what percent winning percentage or 71% winning percentage and a what 60% winning percentage in the playoffs. I mean, who is going to argue with that? So, but that said, I mean, he's under contract for another year. And yeah, I think if they win a championship, he is for sure being extended. It's just a matter of how long and for how much. If they lose, I don't think this is like the Atlanta situation, Jason or JR, excuse me, where, you know, where it was like, okay, once Kyrie got hurt, the Bucks were the favorite, right? Like if they would have lost these finals, even I think with Giannis getting hurt, I think there would have been cause or someone could have justified making a move. I think if you lose now, even up 3-2, like that's not like losing a 3-1, you know? Or 3-0 or something crazy like that. So, no, I think he's back. It's just for a matter of how long. And look, JR, this is – everybody's getting paid. Everybody gets paid. Darvin Ham has been a finalist for a couple of jobs. Charles Lee's been a finalist for a couple of jobs.
If you're totally getting paid.
If you're Josh Oppenheimer, And you've seen Giannis. I voted him in the top three of the MVP. Everybody, John Horst. We were talking about Jrue Holiday. Well, somebody had to pull that trigger. This is one of those. The bags are falling, JR. The bags are getting tossed. They're gonna parade down Wisconsin Avenue. They go over that practice facility. They're gonna have a parade of money too, because that's just how it is. I don't see at this juncture. I mean, I guess you always leave for the possibility of some weird human element, but nothing about it sets it up for anything other than this is it. This is the core coaches to players that Milwaukee and the Bucks are going to have, for the next, let's just call it 4 years.
Yeah, absolutely true. Darvin Ham has been whispered about as a finalist for coaching jobs, or at least strongly in consideration in the last couple of years now, with Washington reportedly filling its vacancy. Looks like Ham will, I guess, still be here. I'm kind of surprised. I thought he'd be out the door. Charles Lee, like you mentioned, I thought these guys, maybe the finals run hurts them in this regard. There were a ton of vacancies and they were sort of discussed about a bunch of them, but surprised right now they're still here and still going to be here next year. The big story before the game was the revelation that Thanasis Antetokounmpo had been put into the health and safety protocol. He was not on the bench. He's not a guy who has gotten minutes in this series, but obviously no question asked, emotional leader of the bench group. Obviously he's Giannis's brother. They have a very strong connection, and he definitely has been, I'm sure a guy that Giannis looks to for a little bit of an emotional boost when he needs it. He's sort of like the mascot. I don't want to diminish what he can do. Like, he's more than that, because he gets on the floor and really pumps that team up. But he just brings an element you can't replace. So I'm sure losing him was tough on that front. But of course the big thing is everyone knowing how close the brothers are. Does that mean Giannis is going to wind up in the health and safety protocol? And I think we've arrived at a very weird, tenuous moment in the pandemic, where there's an acknowledgement that those who are vaccinated are not a threat. They may get the virus because they're testing every day. There is a chance that it will show up that you have the virus. However, because you're vaccinated, you're not going to get symptoms. You're not likely to spread it to other people. That's what the science is telling us. But, as with many other sports leagues, with the daily testing, there is a chance you get that result. And then it's a question of, well, but if they're vaccinated, are they really a threat? Should we forego this because this is the NBA Finals and this is a huge deal for the NBA and a huge deal for the Bucks and history? Like, I don't know if you can really start doing aggressive contact tracing again, that sort of thing, because this is the NBA Finals and they're vaccinated. So this is a really tough call for, I think. I don't know what officials are ultimately in charge of this, but this is a very tenuous moment. Obviously Giannis played, so he was cleared. He probably didn't, probably didn't test positive or anything. But if he did, man, what a weird moment that's going to be, Jim. I just don't know what they do.
Yeah, this was a real conversation in Phoenix. It seems improbable that, Giannis's personal assistant coach and Josh Oppenheimer and his brother are, and the, I mean, I, that we know of, I believe based on PJ Tucker's social media that some other staffers were also not with the team. It seems hard to believe that contact tracing wouldn't loop in multiple players, let alone the best player on the team. I'm not going to get into all that. I we can just think how we want on it. And I think there's some common sense. I mean, I think as long as put it this way, I believe that in order for a player to miss games, they have to test positive. And then they likely have to test positive a second time, if not a third time, with the rapid, situation that these teams have access to. That's my opinion. I don't know if that's their protocol in these finals, JR. I mean, I'm tested every day again, and the results are pretty quick. I do know there's multiple ways to test. So it was a very real question. We did wonder, hey, is there a chance we're in Phoenix another 3 days? Because this thing's going to get postponed. But then conversely, it's only postponed if the Bucks don't have enough players. I mean, Chris Paul missed the first two games of the West Finals. I don't think the NBA is going to play around. I don't believe if for some reason they felt if Giannis Antetokounmpo had a positive COVID test, JR, he's not playing and the rest of his team is. So I don't think the NBA at this stage, they want this over. They want it done. And if that were to happen to either of these teams, I hate to say it, that them's the breaks. Like it's almost like rolling an ankle or getting hurt, right? Like I think that's what would have happened should this have, mushroomed into a larger sort of COVID scare. I mean, the Bucks have had a few, Jrue Holiday, of course. Look, he played in Cleveland. I mean, I was there. I played in Cleveland, got on a plane, they flew to Denver, and all of a sudden, he tested positive and he battled that for 2 weeks. But yeah, no one else. So I mean, they've been through this and I guess at this point, JR, maybe just to get it done, the Antetokounmpo brothers, for as tight as they are, maybe look, maybe everybody's being good. Maybe everybody's being 6 feet apart, and look, you can hug somebody with COVID and not get it. Like, I mean, that stuff's possible. So, like, yeah, that's it's just it was a very tense-ish feel to the beginning of Game Five for sure. When Thanasis came up on the injury report is out, and ideally, JR, here in the next couple hours, we don't see any more, and they can get Game Six underway without further issue.
I myself and my family had two people in my household got it. I did not. We didn't take any precautions. We just assumed we were all going to get it. Didn't happen. So it is still random. We know this. It's a random thing. So it's strong possibility that that Giannis showed no problem whatsoever. Also, in my mind, a strong possibility the NBA gave him a second test and a third test and a fourth test till we get the answer we want. I'm sure that's not what's happening. I'm not actually accusing them of doing that, but certainly a scare for Bucks fans when they found out the Thanasis was out. Speaking sort of this is a bad segue, the adjudication of things here, the refereeing in this series. It seems to me that from the Bucks perspective, Bucks fan perspective, the Suns have really developed a reputation here as, I don't know if dirty is too strong, but they definitely have some acting going on when they, get when an elbow comes anywhere in their zip code, or Jay Crowder may be guilty of this, Devin Booker may be guilty of this. The one thing that caught a lot of people's attention on that alley-oop play that we talked about at the start of this podcast was Chris Paul really running in, intending to try to break it up, but basically shoving Giannis midair, which I think in the moment probably, I think it became more aggressive because of how high Giannis got up. But, that was sort of a intent not to hurt, but intent to definitely break it up as solidly as possible. I don't know if I think of Chris Paul as a dirty player. I think of him as a player who, doesn't shy from the mind games of this sport. And, that goes for referees, it goes for opposing players. It's part of what makes him such a great talent, Hall of Fame talent. It's hard to know what Suns fans are thinking about the Bucks. I don't necessarily see the same things from them, but it's easy for me to say, coming from this side of it. So, do you think the Suns are sort of out of the ordinary, seeking out calls, trying to do these little things? I mean, it might be a sign that they need an edge right now because the Bucks have seized control of this series. But what has sort of been your firsthand account of watching the Suns play?
It's funny, JR. I don't really. It's interesting from, I guess, our perspective. I mean, some media members, I think, notice it. I guess for me, I don't. Does this make sense? It's one of those things where it's like I watch the ball to a degree. I'm not really, and then if the official makes a call, then he made the call. I guess I don't know if some of that is just my NFL in me, JR, where like there's a whistle, there's a flag. Did they pick it up? No. I don't know. Like, it's just one of those things where I don't think I really pay much attention to it. Now, in terms of, I do believe the Suns play to the line. I thought it was interesting that Chris Paul, look, I give him credit. I mean, he tried in some fashion to affect Giannis going up and getting it. I don't think the head of the Players Association wants to push Giannis into the crowd and break his legs. Like, that's not true. You know what I mean? It's just, I think the force of nature that is Giannis in that moment and Chris Paul just trying to stop it is, I think to me that kind of thing looks worse than the intent is. But I do, I mean, Jay, look, Marquette fans know. Who are we playing with, Jay Crowder? Jay's been Jay. But, I mean, Buzz Williams wanted that dude for a reason, right? Torrey Craig's Torrey Craig. Like, I, Devin Booker's a tough dude. Like, I think they play hard. And maybe that's some old school in me. Maybe that's because I really don't care who wins in me, But then again, look at the Bucks. I mean, PJ is pretty demonstrative one way or the other. I don't think there's been a foul PJ likes. Bobby gets in it. Thanasis gets in it. Like, Giannis is smarter about it, but I don't think Giannis is afraid to have a hard foul. So I think it's more, JR, just, this league rewards flailing body parts. Unfortunately, like in the NFL, you can call, roughing the passer, you can call pass interference illegal. Like, there's all these fouls you can call in football to benefit the offense that you don't, that there's no exaggeration involved. In baseball, you can make the ball tighter, you can juice it, you can ban sticky substances to make sure guys hit it better or further. In basketball, I mean, they reward flopping around and kicking your arms out. Chris Middleton is really good at getting his legs out in front of him on three-pointers. How many four-point plays has he had? I mean, that's just Bryn Forbes a lot this year. So I think that's just the game. And I think it just, JR, depends on, where you sit and who you root for. And then, obviously, which way that particular whistle blows.
And for those who are worried about the officiating, go back to what Jim said earlier. The NBA wants this series over. They may not. They don't want one more plane flight and one more game after this. This can end here. So the NBA, if you're thinking there's a conspiracy afoot against the Bucks, that makes no sense. If anything, it would go the other way. If there are conspiracies in the NBA, it would go in that direction. So take heart, those who like to seek these things out. All right, Jim, Tuesday night, the Bucks are going to be at Pfizer Forum with a chance to win their first championship in 50 years. I know a lot of people, national and otherwise, assume Bucks are going to win that game. It's at a place where the energy is very high. I also let's just go back to game four. I mean, yeah, the Bucks won that game, but it came down to the absolute wire. It took a superhuman play to put that one away. So I don't know why there should be a ton of confidence necessarily. Obviously, the Bucks should feel like they have the advantage. Of course they do. But I don't think this is a runaway. I think the Suns still have one last shot in it, unless Chris Paul is hurt. And that's been a recurring storyline. Like, he's struggled a little bit. And certainly more so than he did in the first two games of the series. His line, stat line is still good, but everybody's going to rally around Chris Paul. He's the emotional leader. He's the guy that you want to get that first ring to. But if he's unable to, be at 100%, the Bucks will just let Devin Booker score 40 points and mitigate the rest. That seems to be kind of what they've been able to do. I guess I'm looking for a prediction. What you think happens next? I also wonder, if Chris Paul isn't 100%. Is that it? Is that curtains for the Suns?
Yeah, I don't think he's healthy. But I'd also say that the Bucks, if the Bucks were to somehow just let him scoot along into the lane, like they did in games one and two, he's more than equipped to make a bunch of 14 footers. So, look, I know our last pod, I stuck with kind of the home crowd. I had picked the Suns in seven, which, was basically a coin flip. So I went with the home team, and look, the Bucks won on the road. I'm going to change how I feel. Cause I, in terms of who wins this series, because again, I think home court matters, and now the Bucks have home court. Now that's, but you're right though. Like, who's to say the Bucks don't run out by 16 in game one, and it's, I'm on my plane back to Phoenix on Wednesday. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, none of that would surprise me. Our colleague over at the Arizona Republic, Dwayne Rankin, feels that way. The Suns haven't lost four in a row all season. This is only the second time they've lost three in a row. It seems improbable on their end that that's how it would go out. I'll pick the Bucks. JR, they're home, three straight wins. I don't know if Jrue Holiday can do back-to-back games, but I think in terms of the offense, I think his defense is going to stay there. I think Mike Budenholzer has pushed all the right buttons with his rotations, who's playing, who's not, how much, how long. And quite frankly, Giannis Antetokounmpo is healthy. Chris Middleton has gotten it going. And at home, you know, I'm going to miss not being able to tweet out my Ultimate Warrior gif when Thanasis comes in for his 22 seconds of defense, of maniacal defense. It's a personal favorite of mine, but you know, Bobby Portis and Pat Connaughton are going to feel that stuff, man. And Connaughton's playing so well right now. I think this is done. I think this is, you know, first time in 50 years type stuff happening, in the Deer District on Tuesday night.
Man, I can't believe it. I can't believe that we're even talking about this, that it's possible. As a Milwaukee sports observer for so long, it didn't feel like we'd ever really get to this point, and yet here we are. But it's, I think, amazing to me that we're 30 minutes in and we haven't asked a question that under normal circumstances, in normal years, might be the single biggest question, and that is around Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, of course, minority owner, Packers quarterback, but Bucks minority owner. You would love to think that all the owners are going to be in the building for a possible NBA championship. The Rodgers Cold War has continued on. You know a little bit about it. You know a little bit about the Green Bay Packers. Give me your prediction. Will Aaron Rodgers be in attendance on Tuesday night at Pfizer Forum?
Man, my gut says yes. It's an uninformed gut. But the reason I say my gut is because, one, Aaron Rodgers loves basketball. Aaron Rodgers is I believe a Bucks fan. I don't think it was just a financial and a really good financial investment. I think, and also again, that he's a guy who appreciates history, appreciates such a moment. I don't think it's lip service when he talks about the state of Wisconsin and the city of Green Bay and Milwaukee. So there's a part of me that feels like it makes too much sense to not go. Like, you're a part owner. You don't have to worry about the tick. Not that he'd have to worry about ticket price anyway. And then I guess JR turns into the, well, where is he at? I could see – I don't know if he would be at his normal courtside spot. I think he also knows that takes away from the moment. And it's not his team. You know, it's not the Packers. He's not affecting the outcome. And let's be real, JR, they show that guy. There are people who are going to boo him. and you just, I don't know if you want that, like, if you're him. So where does that mean he is? I mean, we've seen Christian Yelich in a box. You know, maybe they're up there together. Maybe he's sitting with some of the other owners. Maybe he's in his own suite. Who knows? I don't know, man. Look, I'm not a fan. I remember being a fan. And if I could have gone to any of the Bulls clinchers or the White Sox clincher, I'm going. You know what I mean? And, like, so there's a part of me that feels – but then again, look, JR, all of this has been about him trying to maximize his personal time. And maybe, you know, he just doesn't want to deal with 30,000 people doing whatever it is they may be doing if they win this thing. I wouldn't blame that either, because that, you know, that's a whole other conversation. But so my gut feels like he'll be there, but I also would not be surprised, you know, if he's got a really great vantage point in sunny California with a, you know, 70-inch television either. He's getting that ring either way.
Yeah, he is. I love that idea that you float possibly in a suite where he's maybe shielded a little bit from the attention of everyone else in the arena. Maybe Christian Yelich is in there. Maybe Ryan Braun shows up. It's an MVP suite. Here's my dream scenario. He is on the big board. He says, I'm coming back to on the Jumbotron. He then downs a beer successfully. You know, famously was unable to do that a couple years ago. Bucks win. And then, you know, Ryan Braun shows up and announces he's coming back at the same time. I want it all to happen at once. It's a content haven, and I want that. What do you think? What do you think of my dream?
That is a dream. That's a dream, JR.
The kind of said it all there. The said it all. All right, so here we are, the Milwaukee Bucks and Phoenix Suns. Game 6 of the Eastern... No, we're past that. The NBA Finals. The NBA Finals on Tuesday night, 8 o'clock tip. Jim Ozarski will be there. He will try not to be swarmed by the Deer District afterwards. You know, I know it's a long time to write that story after a game, but, you know, 4 hours later, you emerge from that building. It is still going to be a scene. You're going to have a... you're going to have to battle. I hope you're prepared. I hope you've, you know, got your good galoshes.
Yeah, we Ben Steele and I have already sort of game planned what we'll do, because you plan for everything, and we'll be ready.
He is Jim Ozarski, Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Find all of his stuff at jsonline.com. Like we mentioned earlier, he wrote about Mike Budenholzer's future on the site today. You could also find great stuff from Ben Steele, from Lori Nickel. They've done such a ridiculous job. Phenomenal columns from Lori. Great coverage from Ben. He went to Phoenix as well. We're very fortunate to have this much talent at the Journal Sentinel, and they've got you covered. So jsonline.com. Enjoy it, Milwaukee. Follow the live blog. I'll be doing that. Follow along and enjoy Game 6, whatever it may bring, and we will chat with you again soon. Bye, Jim.
Bye. See you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.